something I wrote down I was going to share with you now. I don't remember where I wrote it. Thought it was for tonight. Oh, yeah, I know what it was. It'll be in Exodus chapter 3. You can get your Bible turned there. I heard about this guy that it was a church going on like normal, and this one man come in there. Man, he wasn't real kept-looking fella. He was kind of had some old clothes and looked like he'd been working a lot in that, and he come into church, and he sat right up in the front row. You know, it was a real formal church. Nothing was going on, and the preacher got to preaching, and boy, this guy was shouting, "Amen, boy, hallelujah." You know, and everybody, like everyone, they look over there at him, and man, he kept on. Boy, the guy would get to say something good. He'd say, "Amen," you know, real loud. And finally, one of the deacons or usher or something and come up there and said, "Sir," he said, "man, you're going to have to, like, you know, calm down. You know, you can't be loud. You can't be shouting that out." He said, "Look, man," he goes, "I'm excited." He said, "I just got Jesus." And the guy said, "Well, you didn't get him from here." That's about the truth, isn't it? Sometimes, man, you got to get excited about the things of God. And, you know, I don't know. We get excited about a lot of things in life, not necessarily about Jesus. We ought to be more excited about Him than we are everything else that we go through in life. I got a text that's familiar to us this morning. Matter of fact, I think it wasn't that long ago that I preached from this text, but you know, you never exhaust the Word of God, and I always see something different when I see the verses that I study. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will go, now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, and the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." Heavenly Father, we ask now for your presence today. Lord, move among us and make us aware that you hear. Lord, speak to each heart, and we know every heart here has a need. Lord, there's no doubt someone here, maybe more than one, that are not saved. Lord, are not sure about their salvation. Lord, I pray you speak to them today. And Lord, those of us that just could be drawn closer to you, Lord, which would probably be all of us, could be closer with you. Lord, speak to us today. Draw us to yourself. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got the title of the message is Something More. Something More. I spoke on Mother's Day about Moses' birth and about the two mothers that he had, his natural born mother and Pharaoh's daughter that raised him there. And now, you know, I was looking kind of at Moses' life. In backing up before this point here, you know, he had been raised in Pharaoh's court after that. His mother had to put him over in the bulrushes, and he was raised in that court and educated, trained, and you know, Moses knew this one thing. He knew that he was a Hebrew. He knew he was different than the Egyptian. When he was about 40 years old, he saw an Egyptian taskmaster, slave master, beating one of the Hebrew slaves, and he killed that man. And he buried him in the sand. And I think he thought down inside, he thought, well, the Hebrews will rally around me because of this now. And, you know, I'm going to do something about it. But they didn't. They kind of, they didn't rally around him. They pointed it out that pointed out to him that they knew he had killed this man, hit him in the sand, and so he fled. He fled out in the desert, and he met a woman there, married her, and worked for her father, herding sheep for the next 40 years. 80 years has gone by in Moses' life. He's out in there 40 years watching sheep, and I'd say that's a pretty humdrum life, isn't it? That'd be a pretty humdrum life. You know, a monotonous routine. You ever feel like that in life when you get in a monotonous routine? It can be in any part of your life. It can be a monotonous routine at work. It can be a monotonous routine at home. It can be a monotonous routine at church. I mean, life sometimes can get to be a monotonous routine. And, you know, when you think about spiritual life, on the spiritual side of things, boy, you've been saved. Say you've been saved a long time. And I know we got people here been saved. Mary, I know you've been saved a long time. Marge, some of you been saved a very long time, and it's even getting to the point where I've been saved a long time now. And, 10, 20, 30 years of salvation, 10, 20, 30 years of, it can get to be monotonous church life. Amen. I mean, you can just get, you're coming in. If you come to all the services, you come in Sunday school, you come in on Sunday and then you're here for Sunday morning. You go home. I got a routine. I don't know about you, but usually revolves around eating dinner, getting in the Lazy Boy, looking at the paper briefly, putting something on TV, falling asleep, waking up, have coffee at 3 o'clock, do something there. And then at 5:30 or 6, we're heading back up here for evening service. And then we go home and I eat supper and I watch TV till I fall asleep in the Lazy Boy. And I sleep for a while in the Lazy Boy. Then I get up and I go to bed. That's about the routine on Sunday. Every Sunday is about the same. And, you can get in that monotonous church life. You can get in a monotonous prayer life. You can get into a monotonous Bible reading life. You can read, it can get to be where everything is a routine. And so I know a lot of people, sometimes you feel, I saw some heads bobbing, that you feel like life itself and even at church can get to be monotonous at home, at church, right there. Well, I'm going to give you the cure-all for a monotonous, humdrum life at home and in your church. So I got that today. The cure-all for a monotonous, humdrum life at home and at your church. The very first thing is you have to turn aside. Look in verse 3, it said this. It said, Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. We understand that God was in that bush. He appeared as a burning bush. The bush wasn't burning. And we understand that would be a miraculous sight, right, if we saw that in life. But I want to say to you right now, I know that God is working, and God is working in the world today. I understand that. And God's working all around. But the problem is that we get so busy in our life a lot of time that we don't look around to see what's going on, what God's got doing. A lot of times when you're deep in thought, this is how you walk, right? You walk like this. You deepen your own little life. Or nowadays you walk like this. This is how people are walking. They don't even know where they're going. They're not looking at anything going on around them. They're doing stuff. And I think God is out there working. I think there's some burning bushes out there, but we just don't see them. But Moses, nothing happened with Moses till he turned aside to see that bush right there. Now, I want you to know something. Like I said, Moses' first 40 years, he knew that he was a Hebrew. I think he knew that. He knew he was different than the Egyptians. Now, that means this. That means that he knew that he was a child of God, that he was God's chosen people. He understood that. He knew that he was different, even though he was being raised in Pharaoh's court. Understanding that, he knew who God was. Okay? Now, here we are. We're in the church right here, and most everybody in here, and I look around, I don't know for sure, but everybody's at least made a profession. They say they're saved. So we know God, right? We know who he is. But I want to tell you something. Moses didn't know God deeply yet. And that's what I see in Christianity today. People know God, but they don't know God in a deep or have a deep relationship with God. They just know him, the superficial, the outside things. As a matter of fact, more people, they know about somebody else's experience with God more than they have. I said this a few weeks ago, I think. They don't have their own story to tell. They don't really have a story to tell. They haven't really witnessed that. And he hadn't gone deep enough with God to know God's ways. I know in his first 40 years, he had a busy life. He was being raised in Pharaoh's court. He was being educated. He was being trained. Pharaoh didn't have, apparently they say, he didn't have an heir to the throne. Moses was probably being trained for that position. Along the way, he probably had a supervisory position. That's why he was out there where the Hebrew slave was being beat, saw that, killed the Egyptian. So he had a supervisory position. He was working. He had something to do. Well, I look around at church folks today and what's going on in everybody's life. Man alive, it's like, it's just busy, busy, busy all the time. I mean, people, you work all day. I understand. You work all day. I did it too. I wasn't a pastor all my life. I didn't get saved. I was 31 years old. You're working all day. Well, then when you're working all day, what are you thinking about? You're thinking about what you're going to do when you get home, right? Because when you get home, you're going to have to do stuff. Summertime, got to mow the grass. You got one afternoon shot down in flames right there. If your yard's real big, sometimes it's mow the grass and then weed whack on another day. Okay, you got that to do. You got to work on your cars. You got to work on your houses. House needs working on. You got maintenance things you got to do. Then you got the kids. They got ball games. If you got multiple kids, you got multiple ball games. I mean, man, The week goes by in a hurry, doesn't it? Man, it's, you know, next thing it's going. You just take that right there and try to find time just to read your Bible. Try to find time just to pray. I mean, I'm talking about serious prayer. You can't, you know, it's just like you're getting it. But you know what? Even all that can get to be a monotonous life. Man, I'll tell you what. I mean, I know the parents that got ball. We got grandkids now. I'm so glad when the ball games is over, I don't know what to do. Hallelujah, it's the last game, man. I feel like shouting. Man, I mean, we don't have to go to, huh? I mean, I like to watch them play and all that, but after the first 10, you know, they get kind of, it gets kind of monotonous, right? And so even all that, it can get to be a humdrum life. And like I said, we know God, but how deep do you know Him? See, how many burning bushes have you seen in your life? I mean, and this is talking about something in a supernatural way. How often have you really seen God work in your life in a supernatural way? Because I'm going to tell you, we can get to the ball game and get to work and do all that mowing and all that. We can do all that without God when you get right down to it. I mean, we can do it without God. If you want to go deeper, if you want to see a burning bush, you're going to have to turn aside. You know, this is what you're going to have. You know, nothing. You can't stay the same and do the same and expect something to be different. You just can't. And, you know, if you want to get have a deeper relationship with God, you're going to have to. You see, Moses was probably hurting. He had something to do with sheep right then. He had something to do. It wasn't like, hey, I got nothing to do. Hey, there's a burning bush. I think I'll go check it out. No, he had stuff to do. But if you wanted to get a close relationship with God, you're going to have to turn aside from some of that. You're going to have to turn aside and say and seek it and find out what's going on in your life. And I'm going to tell you what, I've done some reading and studying and those things right there. Every man or woman that was greatly used by God, and you can read the biographies of great men. There's everybody, a lot of people heard of D.L., Dwight L. Moody. Dwight Moody was, man, he was a powerful, powerful preacher, and thousands of people would go to see him preach. But, you know, he was a preacher before, he had been a preacher for years. But not much was happening. And in his biography it says, but there was a point when God, when he finally got it, when he finally really turned aside to get that relationship with God and God really spoke to his heart. All the people that God greatly used, Moody, Wesley, Finney, all the men of yesteryear and even men of this time, this day and age, everybody that was greatly used by God to do anything for God in a powerful way, there was this point that they finally got it, where they finally said, you know what, there's more to Christianity than what I'm experiencing. Every single person. And until you get to that point, I'm afraid you're going to live a humdrum life. You're going to have a humdrum spiritual life, church life, prayer life, and you're not going to see too many burning bushes going on in your life until there's a time that you turn aside. Look within yourself. Every person needs, you know, there has to be a time. And I think that, you know, that God, where we sit down and we have an honest evaluation about ourselves. You know, really, how deep do I know God? How close am I living the life that God wants me to live? You know, how close am I living to the Christian person, the model Christian that God would have me to be and doing what God wants, you know, and really look at ourselves. There has to be a time when we sit down and got honest with ourselves and talk to God, and the most important thing is when God starts talking to us. Amen. That's the most important thing. So we have to turn aside. There's another thing. I think you have to step aside. You have to step aside. D.L. Moody wrote this. He said, Moses spent the first 40 years thinking he was somebody. He spent the second 40 years learning he was a nobody. And he spent the third 40 years discovering what God can do with a nobody. Because at 80 years old, you think 80 years old, man, I'll be done. I'm washed up when I'm 80 years old. Uh-uh. God didn't even use Moses until he was 80 years old. It took him that long to get him where he could use him. And then he had to go ahead and lead the children of Israel through the wilderness, out of Egypt and through the wilderness and towards the promised land. I mean, God didn't even start using him until that time. You know, a lot of times, some people have speculated this, that Moses knew through scriptures and prophets and things, a few scriptures and prophets, that there had a deliverer had been prophesied for the children of Israel. And maybe by now, Moses figured, you know what, I'm the guy. I got it. No problem. I got this. I can handle it. I've got the background, I've got the training, I've got the expertise to take on this task right there. Well, he was right and wrong about that. He was the man, but he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready. He had a problem in his life that he had to deal with. You know, sometimes you can be too big for God. You know, when we think we can do it, you're not ready to be used by God. Huh? No, because you know what? Look at the task that Moses was going to do. That was a monumental task. To lead over 1 million and some people through the wilderness onto the promised land. You think you got that figured out? No, he didn't have it figured out. A lot of people are too big for God to use because they want to be a somebody, and God can't use us until we learn to be a nobody. God's not looking for a celebrity. He's looking for servants. Amen. 40 years on the backside of the desert. Moses, you know what? This is ironic. Moses was a big leader in Egypt, right? He was an heir to the throne. He flees to the desert. Apparently, nobody came looking for him. Boy, how's that make you feel? Huh? People do church like that sometimes. I've had people leave the church and then I get word back. Well, they're not coming back, but you can come see them if you want to. Well, if you want to talk to me, how come you didn't talk to me? That's what I just tell them. If you leave out of here and you don't talk to me, don't get mad because I don't come see you, because I figure if you want to talk to me, talk to me. I get the impression you don't want to talk to me, right? But what it is they want you to come tracking them down. Moses went out there and nobody tracked him down. So he starts herding sheep. 40 years. He's out there. And you know, by now he probably figured, you know what? What do you think 40 years attending sheep on the backside of the desert when you were number two in Egypt? And now 40 years you've just been watching sheep. 40 years. This is a long time. Huh? 40 years. You're 80. What are you thinking about God's plan for your life? By now, Moses is probably saying, yeah, this is it. You know what? This is it. I'm done. I mean, I'm 80, and I'll just probably be doing this. I think he just resigned himself to the fact that this is what I'm going to do. And he'd been humbled by the fact that being number two in Egypt, and he fled. Nobody came looking for him. Nobody was knocking on his door wondering where Moses was. You know, by now, Egypt, Pharaoh has done moved on. They done started training somebody else for the heir to the throne. And the Hebrews already, he thought they were going to rally around him when he killed the slave, but they didn't. You know, in life a lot of times, how many times has it not come out like you thought it was going to come out? We got a lot of ideas how it's going to do, but you know, it doesn't do that. And Moses thought, and so they've done gone on without him. That's kind of a humbling experience, isn't it? They done went on without you. And so God, you know, but God was using this. By now, Moses had died to self. I believe 40 years on the backside of the desert tending sheep, you'll die to self. He might have thought he was somebody on the first 40, but on the end of the second 40, he said, man, listen, what are you, Moses? I'm just a shepherd. I'm just a shepherd. Shepherd, like that would be like saying, I don't want to run anybody's job down, but whatever you do for a living, if you're working hard at it, do your best. That's what you ought to do. But let me put it this way. Herding sheep's what you did when you couldn't do nothing else. And it wasn't a very glamorous job. Sheep herders ended up smelling like sheep, you know. So it wasn't a glamorous job. That was a humbling experience for Moses. So now he thinks, hey, you know, God's done with me. I'm not doing anything for the next 40 years. But you know what? He died to that self. That self that we all need to die to, that pride that needs to die. That's what God wants from us. Amen. You know, you ever felt sometimes in life, you know, you ever felt abandoned by God? How about have you felt abandoned by God for 40 years? 40 years. Now you got to remember, listen, he didn't go to church every Sunday because they didn't have it. He didn't have a Bible to go look at and read the Bible, read the Word of God. You had to depend on some kind of direct revelation from God, you know, through a prophet or somebody. And in this case, a burning, God will get it to you. Listen, there's another good point. God will get the Word to you if He wants to speak to you. A burning bush would do it for me. I don't know about you, but if I saw a burning bush in the middle of nowhere and it's not consumed by the fire, I'm going to go check it out. God will get the Word to you. But think about this. 40 years. That's a long time not to hear from God. That's a really long time. And Moses, there's no doubt in his mind, he had to keep thinking, you know, man, when I was spared down there by the river, and I went into Pharaoh's court, and I was being educated and trained. Man, I thought, God, you were going to do something big with me. But you know, 40 years later, I'm going to be thinking I was wrong. God's done forgot about me. There's nothing left, you know. And a lot of times people think, listen, you know, you're out there and you get isolated. See, everybody here, you're sitting here now and you're in your own little mind, right? You can be isolated in your mind right here. You're thinking right here. And even though we're a little family group and all this, and you go back to your houses and everything, everybody's got their own little lives going on. And sometimes, you know what, even people right in the middle of a church will think, you know what, I think God's done forgot about me. God's not doing nothing with me. It's not going like I thought it would go. It's not going like I thought that things was going to happen. I thought, boy, when I got in there and got in church and got going, that God was really going to do something in my life. But I'm not seeing that. But you know, you might have to turn aside, huh, to see some things. You ever convince yourself that nothing's ever going to change? I hear people say that sometimes. That's never going to change. It's always going to be just like that. 40 years of doing the same thing over and over and over again would make you think that, wouldn't it? Nothing's ever going to change. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You were in charge of that life. You're in charge of that life that's monotonous and that seems like it's never going to change. You're the one that was calling the shots in that life. And listen, as long as you and I think that we can help God out, you'll never be what God wants you to be. God really don't need our help. See, that's revival, a personal revival or a church-wide revival. It's not about helping God out. It's about surrendering. That's what it's all about. God gives us gifts, sure He does. He gives us ability, but I'm going to tell you what, God don't need none of them. And as long as we think we got a gift or we got an ability, listen, God really can't do very much with us. It's when we say, look, God, I'm just yours. I'm just surrendering. You know, you just go ahead and do it because I can't do it right there. God didn't need Moses' talents or his ability. He wanted his availability. God's looking for your surrender, not your help. And God is waiting for you to turn aside and surrender to Him. I don't think Moses thought that day was going to be any different than the other day. I mean, after 40 years of doing the same old routine, I don't know what the deal, you know, I can't imagine. I mean, I've never watched over a bunch of sheep, but I've seen them out in the field, and they're not much going on. You know, you get them in the green pasture, they eat, you watch, lead them to the water, they drink, you watch, they lay down at night, and you watch, lay down, whatever you do, shift work, I don't know, you know, there's just not a whole lot to it, and you do it the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and for, you know, 365 days, 40 times, you know, I mean, man alive, I don't think when Moses went out the door, he thought that day would be any different. And I'm going to tell you something. When Moses could have looked up there at that burning bush and said, man, now I got stuff to do. I'm going to go watch these sheep. And I know it's that way now. I know that God is doing things or wants to do things that have us involved in that God wants to speak to us in a little deeper relationship than we have. The problem is we're so busy doing something as stupid as watching sheep, as mundane as that. And I don't mean what you do is stupid, but compared to what God wants to do, it's probably a pretty mundane thing. You know, whatever it is you do, it's probably a pretty mundane thing. We're so busy doing that, we won't turn aside. Because notice it said, listen, God didn't speak to him. It said, when God saw that, he turned aside. It said God spoke. God won't speak to you until he sees that you turn aside. Want to listen? You know, that's just, you know, God wants us to hear what he has to say. God is looking for a person, a church that's sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Amen.
Huh? Illness and fatigue, sick and tired. God's looking for a person that's sick and tired of being sick and tired. He's looking for a church that's sick and tired of being sick and tired, and that'll turn aside to seek Him. Well, what does it take to surrender to God? What does it really take to give it all to God? The person who's worried about what others think will never surrender to God. And every sin can be boiled down to this one thing, I've been told, and I've thought about it deeply, and I believe it's correct. The reason we fail to surrender to God is one word, it's pride. We won't surrender totally to God because of pride. We got to be in charge. We got to be in control. We're not going to let anybody control our life or rule our life. We're not going to submit to God, the authority of God, the authority of God's word. What God wants us to do, we won't do that. Pride thinks it doesn't need God. And pride depends upon its own strength. And when we're in that position, God can't use us. God can't use us. He won't get the glory for it. And then the third point, we got turn aside, step aside, and we got coincide. Coincide. Four things necessary to see Jesus. In other words, you have to embrace His crucifixion. And that means this, that we have to die to self daily. Not my will, but thy will be done. That's what Jesus said. We have to say, not my will, but thy. And here's the thing. There's not only is there pride, but there's also doubt. And there's unbelief. That's the sin of unbelief. It's this. God says, listen, I got a life for you. I'd rather watch a burning bush that don't burn up than a bunch of sheep any day of the week. God says, Moses, I got something greater for you than watching the sheep. But if you don't turn aside, guess what you're going to do to the day you die? You're going to watch sheep. Okay? He said, but I got something greater for you. But what happens was in our pride and in our doubt, when God says, listen, I want you to totally trust me. I want you to trust me. And I've got a better life than you ever dreamed. But in our doubt, we say, I don't know about that. Nah, God, I'm going to let the reins just a little bit. You can have them a little bit. But boy, when I think it's leading me in a direction I don't want, I'm pulling in. I'm pulling in because I just don't know. You know, see, really, that's what it boils down to. Do you think God has the best? Don't you think God has a better life plan for you than you can plan for yourself? Everybody says, hey. I know. Y'all know the right answer. All right, then let God have your whole life. Say, all right, here it is. Huh? Here it is. You got it. Take it. You know, when you was a little kid and you wanted to jump in the deep end of the pool and your daddy get down in there and he said, I'm going to catch you. If you didn't think daddy was going to catch you, you wouldn't jump in, would you? I even worried about him when I thought he was going to catch me. But when you really trust it, right? You know, little kids will do that. They'll get up on the highest thing right there in the house and they just go, hey, here. You know, sometimes you're not even ready. You're just kind of messing around. Hey, granddaddy, catch. Whoa, whoa, man. You know, you got to get them. They just trusting that you're going to get them, right? See, God's going to catch you, right? So listen, God says, look, I've got the best for you. If you hold back, you means you're doubting that. You don't believe it. You believe that you're going to guide your life to a better life than what God will do. You won't step aside and see that burning bush. And then, and I'll show you something else in a second. So we have to die to ourselves. We have to follow His example, the example of Jesus Christ. We have to follow that example of Him, and that included dying to self and doing the work. Join Him in His work. And then here's another thing. Pay the cost of discipleship. And Moses did all those things in a sense. He turned aside from his agenda. He joined God in His work, and he was willing to pay the price. He was willing to pay the price. He had to go up and stand up against the Pharaoh at the time. Like I said, don't miss the power of verse 4 when it said that God saw that he turned aside. God notices that when we turn aside. Listen, when we within ourselves say, you know something? God, I want more than what I've got of you. I want more of you than what I've got. I want a deeper relationship with you. You turn aside like that, you start seeking God with your heart, you know something? God notices it. God will take notice of that. He knows. You know, a lot of people say, well, preacher, you know, God knows my heart. Absolutely, He does. He knows the truth. He knows the real truth about your heart. He knows when we're turning aside and we're really not holding back. Because see, we can all say, yeah, you know, I know it. But man, if we're holding back, God knows. God knows. And He knows when we're not holding back either. Moses did it all. I want you to notice when Moses turned aside to see suddenly turning aside to get with that relationship with God took precedence over those sheep that he had. I don't know what happened to the sheep. It never does say. He was with them, but he turned aside to see the burning bush and God spoke to him. And I don't know that, I'm sure that for a little while he still had some duties with the sheep to do before he went and they let all the people out. But God didn't speak to Moses till he turned aside. You know, maybe God's trying to get our attention with something. I don't know what it is. I don't know that you're going to see a bush on fire that's burning and not being consumed. But I think God tries to get our attention. And He wants us to stop our hectic pace long enough to realize that, you know what, there's something more in your relationship with me than you have. I think God wants us to see that. And I think God wants to use us, but we won't slow down long enough and surrender our life to Him to where He can use us. I said in those 40 years, Moses probably wondered if God was ever going to speak to him again or use him. Maybe you feel that way. But I want you to know something. When God said, it says that God called him by name. It said that an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire in the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. And when the Lord saw, he turned aside to see. God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. You know what? God knows your name. Amen. God knows your name. All that time, Moses, God didn't forget. He knew who Moses was. He knew Moses. We know. We already talked about his birth and him being saved and protected. And we know from reading the whole book that God had a plan for him to lead his people out. But Moses couldn't see it all along the way. He knows her name. And he said, he told him, he went on and told him this. He said, listen, man, I am the God of thy father. That means, you know what God's saying? He said, Moses, not only I know your name, I knew your daddy. I knew your daddy, man. I knew something. I know about your birth. I orchestrated the whole thing. Amen. I hadn't forgot about it. You know, and he told Moses, listen, Moses, you have to take your shoes off. He said, put off the shoes from off thy feet. In verse 5, he said, you're standing on holy ground. Standing on holy ground. Boy, if there's something we need to realize today, as God's people, boy, that when you're standing with God, when you're with God, you're on holy ground. He said, take your shoes off. I thought about this. Why just have to take his shoes off? You know what you do? A lot of times you go in the house, you've been out walking around in the dirt. What do you do? Well, you should do. What my mama said you better do. Yeah, take your shoes off, right? Why? Because you got dirt from walking around outside. You know, we walk through this world right here. That's a picture. That's a spiritual picture of him taking those shoes off. We pick up spiritual dirt, the filth of this world, the stuff you hear, the stuff you see, and we got to come into the presence of God. That means that Moses, here was Moses, mighty Moses. He was still saved by grace. He still couldn't stand in the presence of God with sin in his life. He said, man, he goes, Moses, you got to take him shoes off. You got to get everything under, you know, get it cleansed, get it under blood. That was a spiritual picture there. The filth of walking through this world. Moses, that mighty Moses, is still in the presence of a holy God. It was still grace, not works. There was none good, not one. But I want you to also notice this, and don't miss this point. Moses turned aside to see God, and God spoke to him. Guess what? It wasn't just to go up there and say, wow, man, look, I saw a burning bush, and God spoke to him in the middle of that burning bush. What did God say out of the middle of the burning bush? He said, I got something for you to do. When God speaks to us, listen, man, it's just not so you can get that little goosebumps in your hair, feel like it's standing up on the back of your head and say, woo, boy, God spoke to me. No, God's got an assignment. God had a specific assignment. Turning aside for a deeper relationship with God, it's never just about that. But it's also about God using us to make a difference. Here's the point. This will be the snappy little thing you can remember. Surrender leads to something. Surrender leads to something. God wants us to surrender to him so that he can end up in that point use us. You know, in verse, I didn't read this far, but over in verse 11, God started telling him. He told him down there, I have surely seen the affliction of my people in verse 7, which are in Egypt. And he said, I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians in verse 8. Of course, he's going to use Moses to do it. And in verse 11, Moses said unto God, who am I? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? Moses, there was a difference between thinking he was a somebody and knowing he's a nobody. He said, who am I? Pride, self-sufficiency was gone, and now he was ready to be used by God. Let me say this to you in closing. I'm almost done. Is it time for you to turn aside? Or have you been making excuses too long? You know more than you're living up to. God still has his holy ground, the place of his presence, and God still wants to speak to us, but we'll have to turn aside and see and hear. I was telling Wanda, I have crazy dreams. You know I do. I don't know why I dream. I had Wanda in it. I don't even know what preceded that, and Robert, her son, was in my dream. But I was watching Billy Graham before I went to bed last night. It was some of the old Billy Graham crusades. And I dreamed a dream. In my dream, I had a section where it was at the end of it. I was getting ready to give the invitation. I don't know what it preached about. It was in a real big auditorium. It was really packed out with a whole bunch of people in there. And I had stood around on this side of the pulpit. It didn't look like nothing like this. And it was all these people, and there was kids and everything. And I was given the invitation and asking people, you know, if they trusted Jesus and that. And there was some kids. I saw a woman back over this way. She was in the back, and she was dealing with a little girl. And I kind of made a motion, did she get saved? And she said, no, she was saved, but she's wanting to get some things right. And then there was a couple other kids that said they got saved. And I made this comment to the, I said, you know, it's amazing. And this happens a lot. You know, kids will come and get saved, it seems like, quicker than adults will. Because them hearts haven't got hard. And so I made this comment to the group of people that I was in my dream. I said, you know, I said, kids got those soft hearts. And I said, them old adults sit there with them hard hearts. And their calloused hearts. And I said, you know, maybe you've made a profession now and you don't want to come forward and get saved because you think that, oh, you know, what will people think? What did I say one of the points was? You'll never get in a deeper relationship with God when you're worrying about what people think. Amen. And I said, you know, you need to let go and let God speak to your heart. And this guy comes down the aisle. He had a suit on. I didn't recognize his face. And he came down there and he said, man, he goes, I'm just not sure about saved. And I said, okay, what's your name? And he said, I'm Mike. He said his name was Mike, but he acted like I should know who he was. But I didn't. So I said, oh, yeah, okay, but I still didn't know who he was. He was just a man. And so this guy got saved right there. Just had that dream, I guess, because I was watching Billy Graham. But I thought about it. I said, you know, that's the case a lot of times. We get so monotonous in our church life and so routine. We've heard all this before. And we get callous to it. And we really won't let God speak to our heart. We're not really turning aside in a spiritual way. We're not turning aside within ourselves to hear God speak to us or want God to speak to us. Man, Moses had to, God, you know, it's like a tennis match and God's hit the ball. And now the ball's in your court, as they say. When he had that bush burning, God hit the ball. And it was up to Moses to turn aside and see, have that relationship with God. I want to ask you today as we stand, our heads bowed and eyes closed and, you know, search within yourself. Do you have, number one, a relationship at all with Jesus Christ? And, you know, it's okay if you don't. If you say, well, you know what, I don't. That's fine. You can rectify that situation today. We'll have an invitation. You come and you know, you can be saved today. And you may say, you know what, I've made a profession. And I've got baptized. But, you know what, I don't think it was a real thing. But I'm worried about what everybody else is thinking. Listen, don't worry about what everybody else is thinking. Just worry about what God's thinking. And God's calling out. You know, God's calling out. We're here. I could say in a sense, you know what? We're all here. Maybe we did turn aside to hear from God today. But when God starts speaking, He's got something for you to do, whether it be saved, whether it serve Him, whatever it may be. If God's spoke to your heart this morning, and you know, as we have an invitation, you come. And if you need to be saved, get my attention. Whatever your need is, I'll be happy to pray with you about anything. You come.